Let's Not Meet is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it. So your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
How's your car looking? Showing its age? Faded paint? Dents? Dings? Don't worry. Maaco is here to help. They're the experts in affordable paint jobs and light collision repairs, helping you keep your car looking its best without breaking the bank. With Maaco's national reach and community focus, you're not just getting top-notch service. You're actually getting a partner you can trust. Visit your local Maaco today and see how they can refresh your ride. Go in, get the free estimate, and the expert technicians will handle the rest. Uh-oh, better get Maaco.
This podcast contains adult language and content. Listener discretion is advised. If you have a story to share, send it to letsnotmeetstories@gmail.com. Enjoy the show. This happened years ago when I got my first actual job. I was working at a family friend's restaurant when I heard about some website where I could meet pen pals from all around the world. I didn't think much of it. I figured it was harmless. I thought that it would be a cool way to find people from outside the country to chat with, learn about some other cultures and their traditions, you know, that kind of stuff. I figured I would be keeping things general. And I wasn't going to give out any deeply personal information about myself. I was bored and I had no friends in my city, since all my friends were back in my hometown. I wanted to fill the time, combat loneliness, and talk to people, so I thought that this was a good solution. I made a simple profile, stated what kind of friends that I was interested in making and other basic things. After about a month, I received a message from a man. I don't remember what the message said word for word, but in a nutshell, it said, "Hi, I found your profile, and I'm very interested in being friends." He then stated that he was living in the same state as me. Though I know it was probably rude not to be excited about someone in my state contacting me, I did politely respond, and I replied to a few of his messages for a while. In doing so, I found out that he lived in the same city as me. "I see you like anime," he said in one of his messages. "I love anime. I also see that you've been to Japan. I've been to Japan too. Do you like to go to anime conventions? Maybe we could go to the next convention together when it comes to town." This made me feel a bit uncomfortable. As I stated right on my profile, I had no intention of ever meeting up with anyone in person. I was just looking to have an online pen pal. I gently pointed out this detail, and he didn't like it. "I just thought that we could be friends since we have similar interests," he insisted. I stood my ground and kindly told him I wasn't interested. I didn't want to meet anyone from the website in person. He backed off for a bit, and things seemed to be fine. Then he went right back to rambling about his interests. After our conversation wound down, I logged out of the website for a few days to focus on my personal life, going to work, doing schoolwork, and taking care of my disabled father. One day I woke up to notifications and messages on several of my social media accounts, all stating basically the same thing. "Hey, it's your friend from the PenPal website." He messaged me on 4 different apps, which I did not give him the information for. How did he find me? I was annoyed but decided not to engage with any of these messages. Instead, I logged back into my PenPal website and sent him a message. I said, "Hey, I'm not sure how you found my social media accounts, but reaching out to me was over the line. That was really inappropriate. you messaged me on 4 of my accounts. He replied, I'm sorry, I just wanted to talk to you. You haven't logged onto the website for a few days. That doesn't make it okay, I responded. I have a personal life, a job, and a family. I can't spend all of my time on there. That's why I messaged you on all the other apps, he said. I don't have them listed on my profile. How did you find them? I asked. He avoided the question and just said, I'm sorry I did that. I'm just trying to be your friend. I just want to be friends with you. This isn't the way to do it, I explained. I'm very uncomfortable that you somehow found this information that I didn't even give to you. I don't think we should talk anymore. I'm sorry, but I don't want to be friends with you. Please do not contact me again. I immediately blocked him on all of the apps that he found me on, and then I blocked him on the PenPal website. For a few months, everything was fine. But then suddenly, I got a message on one of my apps from a user who wasn't on my friends list. The message said, You stupid bitch. Nobody will ever love you. You'll never find a man to love you. You're an ugly bitch. Why don't you kill yourself? Do the world a favor. I rolled my eyes and blocked the account. Throughout the course of the next year, every few months, across multiple social media platforms, I was being harassed. Then I received a message on the PenPal website from an account that had no name or photos. The message I received there was the same nonsense that I had been getting on my other social media accounts. Once I received a message in the same vein on that particular website, I knew it had to be the man, as I had no other issues with anybody else. I replied, telling him that I knew it was him, and told him that his behavior was really sad and pathetic. I just wanted to be your friend. You're a fucking bitch. Watch your back, he threatened. Then the account blocked me. During the next few months after that, nothing much happened. I got 1 to 2 messages from fake accounts again, but I had grown used to it and would just immediately block them. Then one day I received a Facebook message from a police officer. He was contacting me about a profile that appeared to belong to me on a website called Ashley Madison, which is used for people looking to have affairs, hookups, etc. I had never heard of this site before, and absolutely did not have an account there. I had a long talk with the police officer. He explained that his department investigates human trafficking, and once my profile came up, he thought that I was an underage girl who was possibly in danger. The Ashley Madison account had my personal Facebook account listed on the profile, as well as other ways to contact me. I was in shock. He advised me to contact the website administrators and ask them to pull the profile down. The officer concluded, You seem like a sweet girl. I don't know who's pissed off at you, but try not to read the profile that they wrote for you. I should have taken his advice, but I let my curiosity get the best of me and I checked out the profile. Some of my selfies were pulled from my social media profiles, and the profile stated a lot of horrible, derogatory things. It made me sick to my stomach to read some of the things it said I wanted to have done to me. Thankfully, after I reached out and explained the situation, the website quickly took action and removed the profile. Things were quiet for a bit after that, but the next time I got one of those random hate messages online, I snapped. I didn't hold back. I cursed him out for being so immature and disgusting, simply because I didn't want to be his friend. After I went off, I was blocked again without getting a response, and I didn't get any messages for quite a while. But then one day, when I was the closer at work, I was waiting outside for a family member to come and pick me up. As I was waiting, I was listening to music and waving goodbye to my manager. As they drove away, I got a notification on one of my apps. You ugly bitch, the message said. I sighed and rolled my eyes as I opened the message. As I was typing a response, I received another message that made me stop. I froze up. You're all alone now. I could kill you right now if I wanted to. I would make sure that nobody would ever find you. I backed up against the building. It was the best thing that I could think of to do to feel secure, as I didn't have keys to go back inside. That manager was the only one who had keys, but they just left. I glanced around the parking lot, but there wasn't a single car in sight. My heart started to race as I got more messages. Your family probably won't even miss you, you disgusting bitch. I should just kill you right now. As the phone shook in my hands, I started to cry. Just as another text came in, a car pulled up in front of me. Luckily, it was my aunt coming to pick me up. I took a deep breath and quickly got into the car. Sorry I'm late. I got stuck at 2 red lights. Did your manager leave already? They just left you out here alone? Just drive, I accidentally blurted out, tears streaming down my face. What's wrong? Did something happen at work? My aunt asked. As I was crying and shaking, my aunt took my phone and looked at the messages. What the fuck? She asked. Who the hell is texting you? I don't know who it is. Please just drive. We need to get out of here, I insisted. My aunt took me to her place. She wanted to call the police, but I told her not to. I had no idea who the man was who was behind all of this. I had no idea where to find him or anything. I knew I didn't have enough details to make a police report against him. So then my aunt called another family member, my cousin, who works in the IT field. After my aunt told my cousin the whole story, including everything I had endured for almost 2 years, they told me I should have made entirely new accounts from the beginning of this harassment. I took this advice right then and there and deactivated all of my social media and made new accounts. I continued working at that job for another month, but my aunt told my manager about what happened, so I was never put on closing shifts again. I was only given morning shifts, but I still don't feel safe. This man knew where I worked, and thankfully my manager understood when I finally decided to quit. After that, all of the harassment stopped. To this day, I haven't received any more of those messages. I still live in the same city, but I don't live in the same neighborhood anymore, and now I'm married. I finally feel comfortable again. I don't feel afraid that a man will find me or stalk me again. But every now and then, when I get a random message from somebody who isn't on my friends list, my heart races for a second. This happened when I was a single mother in my 40s. I had just moved to a new house with my then 4-year-old son back in 2002. We were both living in our hometown of Altoona, Pennsylvania. We had been there for a few weeks when one late night, there was a knock on our front door. My son was asleep on the couch and I was still up unpacking and putting things away, getting us settled in. I pulled the curtain aside and I looked out to see a petite young woman who was standing and shivering on our porch. Our front door had a chain latch attached to it. I kept the latch on so that I could only open the door as far as the latch would allow, and then I asked her what she wanted. She said that she had locked herself out of her house and asked if she could come into our house and use our phone. I asked her where she lived and she gave me the address of a house that was about a block away and around the corner. Something about her story didn't seem right, though. This meant that she had to have passed at least half a dozen houses before approaching mine. I found this to be strange as I noticed that all of the houses along the way, from her place to mine, each had their porch lights on, not to mention there was also a still operational payphone across the street. Alarm bells in my head were going off about this. With my young son still asleep in our living room, I was too reluctant to let her in. But it was a chilly winter night, so I offered her a coat and my cell phone, which I handed off to her through the doorway. She took my coat and my phone and then walked to the other end of the porch where I couldn't hear her as she called someone. Before she closed the door, I told her to put the phone in the mailbox when she was done making her call and to bring my coat back the next day. She left the phone, but never returned my coat. For several weeks after that, I was receiving strange phone calls from strange numbers at all hours. I didn't know any of these people who were calling. The people on the other end of these calls were demanding to know where I was when I answered, or they would simply hang up. Approximately 2 to 3 months later, I was reading the Altoona local newspaper. On the front page, I saw a photo of the young woman who had knocked on our door that night. She and 10 other suspects had been arrested in a major drug bust. This immediately gave me chills thinking back on that cold winter night and how she showed up on my doorstep in a sleeveless shirt after passing by several other homes in the neighborhood. I wonder what might have happened to me and my young son if I had dismissed or ignored my unease and my suspicion despite her seemingly helpless appearance.
How's your car looking? Showing its age? Faded paint, dents, dings? Don't worry. Maaco is here to help. They're the experts in affordable paint jobs and light collision repairs, helping you keep your car looking its best without breaking the bank. Most cars on the road could use a little bit of love. And keep in mind, with Americans keeping their vehicles longer, protecting your investment has never been more important. At Maaco, they make it really easy. You come in, free estimate, and the expert technicians will handle the rest. With Maaco's national reach and community focus, you're not just getting top-notch service. You're actually getting a partner you can trust. Don't let those little imperfections add up. You want to keep your car on the road. You want to give it a little bit of love. And you can do so with the great folks at Maaco. Visit your local Maaco today and see how they can refresh your ride. Go in, get the free estimate, and the expert technicians will take care of everything after that. Uh-oh, better get Maaco.
Hey guys, it's Erin Andrews from Calm Down with Erin and Carissa. They say you can't plan for the unexpected, but they probably haven't heard of Aflac. You know them as the famous duck, but Aflac is a leader in supplemental insurance. They can better prepare you for life's surprises by helping cover expenses your health insurance doesn't. Even with good health insurance, medical bills are no joke. Many people don't realize health insurance wasn't designed to cover everything, which means money set aside for essentials like rent goes towards unexpected medical bills instead. That's where Aflac comes in. They pay cash that can be used for anything you choose. Think copays, deductibles, and even non-medical expenses like gas or groceries. Without Aflac, if you're sick or injured, gaps in your coverage can come back to haunt you. With Aflac, you can better protect yourself against the unexpected and help provide you and your family with financial security and added peace of mind. You can't predict the future, but you can better prepare for it with Aflac. Get help with expenses health insurance doesn't cover. Visit aflac.com to learn more.
Let's Not Meet is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it. So your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations. This happened in the mid-90s when I was 22 and living on my own for the first time. One night, I was just getting home from work at around 11 p.m. To reach my apartment building, I could either walk on the sidewalk, which was lit with street lamps and decently trafficked, or cut across the communal garden, which was pitch black and set back from the street. I saved one whole minute of walking time by cutting through the communal garden, and being young and feeling invincible, a lot of times I took that shortcut. That night, I just got this weird feeling saying not to take the shortcut, so I stayed on the sidewalk, but there was no one else around. As I passed by the garden, all of a sudden, a large man popped up from its exit path. I knew that there was no way he could have been in front of me or just behind me as I was walking, since I would have noticed. Plus, the garden is set back from the street that I was walking on, so the only logical explanation was that he had been hiding in the pitch-black garden. Upon seeing him, my body was screaming at me to get the hell out of there, and I began walking faster. My dad taught me to always carry my keys in my fist with at least one key pointed out in case I needed to punch someone. So I had that, but I'm 5'4 and probably 110 pounds. This guy was tall and big, so I knew that my only chance was to outpace him. I was speed walking at this point, and I felt him matching my pace and getting closer. He was breathing heavily, and I felt this angry energy radiating off of him. My apartment building was right there, so I put forth a burst of speed. When I reached the entrance, two people were leaving, and they were holding the door for me, which meant that they were probably going to hold the door open for him too. I don't know why I didn't tell them I thought that this guy was following me. My mind froze, and I was just trying to stay focused on getting inside my apartment. Plus, I was still trying to rationalize it. Maybe he's visiting someone in the building, or maybe this is all just a coincidence. I thought this as I tried to tell myself not to be paranoid. So, then, I was climbing the stairs as fast as I could. It was a 3-story building, and I was living on the 3rd floor. He was climbing the stairs as well, right behind me. I got to my floor, which had 4 apartments on the right side, which was the side my apartment was on, and 4 more apartments on the left. I passed by the first 2 apartments, and he was still right behind me. I stopped at apartment 3, and he stopped in front of apartment 4, where I knew he wasn't living. This entire time, he hadn't said anything. He was just breathing heavily. I thought to myself there was no way that I was going to open my apartment door and have him try to push me inside to attack me, or worse. He also hadn't knocked on the door of apartment 4. He was just standing there. It's worth quickly noting that the apartments are U-shaped, so mine and my neighbor's door were very close together. So I banged my own apartment door as loud as I could, and I yelled out my neighbor's name. "Hey, Kevin, let me in." This startled the guy. Even more so when my own apartment door didn't open, but apartment 4, Kevin's apartment, did. Kevin saw the guy standing right in front of his door and asked him what he wanted. The guy mumbled something about having the wrong apartment, so I quickly opened the door to my apartment, and I was inside in a flash. I then locked the door behind me. I grabbed my cordless phone to call the police, but I heard Kevin through the door telling this guy he needed to leave. And he did. After he left, Kevin knocked on my door and asked if I was okay. I thanked him and said that I was, but inside I was still frozen. I was scared. My adrenaline was pumping as I thanked him for answering the door, and I told him to have a good night before closing and locking my door again. I still had my phone in my hand, ready to call the police, but I started trying to rationalize the whole thing. What exactly happened anyway? A guy followed me, came into my building, followed me up the stairs, but then said he had the wrong apartment. Would the cops even care about something that seemed like a minor coincidence? I tried to calm myself down, but I was also berating myself. Why didn't I run the instant I felt him following me? Why didn't I tell the people that we passed at the front door that I was being chased by him? Why didn't I tell Kevin the second he opened the door and came to my rescue? He could have let me inside his apartment, and we could have called the cops together, but since everything felt so ambiguous, I was questioning myself. A couple of weeks later, I was visiting my grandparents, and my grandfather was reading the paper. He told me that a woman was assaulted in the apartment building across the street from mine. The article had a picture of the attacker, and it was the same man who followed me. He had multiple convictions of sexual assault and had recently been released on parole. I was staying at my friend's house for the weekend to spend time with him while he was back from college. During his break, he was living with his family, which consisted of his mom, dad, and younger sister. While I was using the bathroom, I looked over to the right and I noticed a black square adapter of some sort. It was plugged into the wall, facing me, and it was at an angle that had a view of the toilet, as well as the entire shower. I looked closer and I noticed a black hole in the middle that kind of looked like a camera. I don't know if it was a camera exactly or just a small hidden LED light to indicate something was charging. But then I noticed that it was connected to a cord, leading to what looked like a white charging block. Honestly, I have no idea what it could have been, so I somewhat tried to shrug it off. I figured if it was a camera, it definitely captured footage of me staring at it and taking photos, so I was a bit nervous. Plus, I'm a female, so it's scary to think that somebody in my friend's household could be recording people in the bathroom and posting it online, maybe to make money. I noticed that the back of the adapter had a weird number sequence with power adapter model S3 on top. When I put that information into Google for a search, it came up with recommended searches for cameras. I knew that my friend wasn't behind this. He's not the type of person who would do something like this, and he also had not been home from college for that long, so I was worried that it was his father's. Just to give some backstory on the family, the friend I was visiting is someone I've known for a long time. He's gay, and there are mostly women popping by his house to hang out and visit, especially when he's home from college. My friend would never snoop on women like that, so, to me, it was further proof that the camera wasn't his. As for his younger sister, she's around 15 years old, so honestly, I couldn't see this being her doing either. His father, however, has always made me feel weird. I kept inspecting this adapter, the cords, and everything else. I took the sticker off the back of the adapter and I noticed that there was an SD card. It had an A written on it and said that it had 32 gigabytes of storage. I was freaking out, so I told my friend, who was in so much distress. He was scared, and he wound up telling his mom as well. My mom was completely distraught. She immediately contacted a friend of hers, who's an advice lawyer. She suggested taking it to the authorities, so my mom and his mom decided that they wanted to see what was on it and possibly take it to the police. There were over 70 videos on there with varying footage tucked away in different folders. There was a WhatsApp folder on there, but it was empty, which I found strange. My friend then decided to confront his father about it. His father said that a friend from his job had loaned him the camera about a year ago, but quickly quit the company after suing the company for an injury. He fled the country after receiving his money. We still haven't found proof that this exchange ever even happened, though. This situation was a lot to uncover for me. I'm somewhat in denial about this. My friend said that his dad was really upset once he was told that his daughter, wife, and son were possibly recorded. I really don't know what to make of it, so take that as you will.
How's your car looking? Showing its age? Faded paint? Dents? Dings? Don't worry. Maaco is here to help. They're the experts in affordable paint jobs and light collision repairs, helping you keep your car looking its best without breaking the bank. Most cars on the road could use a little bit of love. And keep in mind, with Americans keeping their vehicles longer, protecting your investment has never been more important. At Maaco, they make it really easy. You come in, free estimate, and the expert technicians will handle the rest. With Maaco's national reach and community focus, you're not just getting top-notch service. You're actually getting a partner you can trust. Don't let those little imperfections add up. You want to keep your car on the road. You want to give it a little bit of love. And you can do so with the great folks at Maaco. Visit your local Maaco today and see how they can refresh your ride. Go in, get the free estimate, and the expert technicians will take care of everything after that. Uh-oh, better get Maaco.
Hey guys, it's Erin Andrews from Calm Down with Erin and Carissa. They say you can't plan for the unexpected, but they probably haven't heard of Aflac. You know them as the famous duck, but Aflac is a leader in supplemental insurance. They can better prepare you for life's surprises by helping cover expenses your health insurance doesn't. Even with good health insurance, medical bills are no joke. Many people don't realize health insurance wasn't designed to cover everything, which means money set aside for essentials like rent goes towards unexpected medical bills instead. That's where Aflac comes in. They pay cash that can be used for anything you choose. Think copays, deductibles, and even non-medical expenses like gas or groceries. Without Aflac, if you're sick or injured, gaps in your coverage can come back to haunt you. With Aflac, you can better protect yourself against the unexpected and help provide you and your family with financial security and added peace of mind. You can't predict the future, but you can better prepare for it with Aflac. Get help with expenses health insurance doesn't cover. Visit Aflac.com to learn more.
Let's Not Meet is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations. I have to admit, at the age of 47, I'm afraid of the dark. Therefore, if I'm alone at night, I can get a little nervous. I am married with a 10-year-old daughter. We live in a single-level home on a dead-end street. Thankfully, we don't have a basement or garage, but it is just a regular house. We live pretty close to our neighbors, so I feel pretty safe. This incident happened fairly recently. My husband and daughter went on an overnight Cub Scout camping trip. I stayed behind since I had to work the next day. They left the house at 5 p.m., and I was looking forward to being alone, catching up on reality shows and eating a nice steak dinner. As I settled on the couch to enjoy a nice quiet meal at around 6:30, I saw a shadow moving past my front room window. It moved so fast, I assumed it was something innocent, like a branch or a bird. I brushed it off and continued watching my show. Another few minutes went by, and again, a quick shadow went by the same window. This time, I paused the show that I was watching and got up to check it out. I didn't want to go outside, so I just looked out the window. I didn't see anything. But then I heard a scratching sound at my front door. My neighborhood has stray cats, but I knew it wasn't them since they don't scratch at the door. We also have raccoons around, but they don't scratch at the door either. Whenever they're looking for food, they just let themselves in the backyard and run around looking for it. Not that we have any back there. I decided to check and make sure that the doors were all fully locked. Thankfully, all of them were. As I walked back to the front of the house, out of the corner of my eye, I saw someone standing at the sliding glass door that led to the side of the house. I looked at him, and he was just staring at me with no expression. Then he creepily lifted his left arm and waved at me. I just froze. My heart was racing. What the hell do I do now? I thought to myself. I ran to the front room where I was watching TV before and grabbed my phone to call 911. Then I heard him trying to pry the glass door open. After a few attempts, he stopped prying at the door, but then he started banging on the glass. I told the dispatcher, "Please hurry, somebody is trying to break in." She told me to remain calm, and she said that the police were on their way. I ran into the kitchen, grabbed the biggest knife that I had, and I waited. It was my only choice, since I couldn't run out the front door to the car. He would have seen me. He would have been able to get to me right away. He then walked to the kitchen window and started tapping on it. What he said to me will always remain burned in my memory. He was still smiling and said, "I'll always remember where you live." The cops showed up and he took off. He wasn't wearing a mask, so I was able to memorize his face and what he wore. I gave all of the details to the police and they took a report. To my knowledge, he hasn't been caught. I told my husband what happened and we changed the locks. Since this event, I've been having trouble sleeping, and any little noise wakes me up. I have recurring nightmares about this man breaking in and just standing over my bed, watching me sleep. I'm a 30-year-old female. I live in a relatively safe neighborhood, barring the occasional mugging attempts, one of which took place right against my bedroom window with one of my neighbors. Other than that, and the few times random men have followed me to my place in their cars asking for my phone number, things are generally stable. I typically have a way of dealing with those types of assholes. There's an empty lot on my street that cars can't access, so I take advantage of it by going in there when I'm being followed. This forces whoever is following me to go around the block, and by the time they manage to loop back around, I'm gone. A few months ago, some genius in our street paid someone in the city to move the neighborhood garbage disposer to another location. It was right down the block, but then it got moved a few minutes away. This resulted in me having to walk a while with my garbage before I could even throw it out. This area is usually quite busy, so I found myself having to do this, a little embarrassing. So I started waiting until nighttime to do it. This probably wasn't my greatest idea considering everything that I've said so far, but I settled into this routine and started feeling a bit safer. That is, until this happened. As usual, I waited until it was dark to go take out my garbage. After throwing it away, I stopped by a nearby convenience store to pick some things up. While I was on my way back to my place, at the entrance to my street, I noticed a young man standing in front of a parking lot located in front of one of my neighbor's houses. This lot was right across the street from my house. He was talking on the phone, but facing away from me. As I was rounding the corner, I noticed a guy sitting quietly on his motorbike right in front of my doorstep. Something about the way that he was already looking at me, just as my eyes landed on him, freaked me out. I did some quick math, and I realized that by the time I would be able to open the door, if ever, he would be able to grab me if he wanted to. This time, the empty lot trick wouldn't work, as I would have to walk past him first, but also his motorbike would be able to enter the lot. So I turned on heel and went back to the convenience store. I was hoping that the guy on the motorbike was just a delivery guy waiting for somebody to meet him at the door. I dilly-dallied at the store for a while, but when I went back home, I found that he was still there on his bike, while the guy in front of my neighbor's house was still there and still on his phone, now just staring at me. I realized then that something definitely wasn't right, but luckily, I had noticed that there was a security guard nearby sitting in his booth, so I went back around the corner and I approached him. I explained the situation, hoping that he would walk to my place, which he gladly did. The moment that the guy on the phone saw me coming back around the corner with the security guard, He put his phone in his pocket and turned toward the guy on the bike, who drove right over to him. Keep in mind that these two were never even looking at one another before. They didn't even appear to know each other, but my gut knew that they were both up to something. The guy who was on his phone got on the back of the motorbike and they both drove past me while glaring at me. Both the security guard and I agreed that something was way off about the entire situation, and he lingered outside until he was sure that I was safely behind locked doors. I didn't know if those two guys wanted to mug me or if they had more sinister intentions, but I'm glad that I trusted my gut and I didn't go straight home. Otherwise, who knows what would have happened. When I was returning from a visit with family, I took a Greyhound bus back home from the airport to Humboldt County. I typically would have flown into San Francisco, but for some reason I flew into Sacramento. I don't remember why, being that it was so many years ago. I was on the bus for many hours, and the bus was fairly full. There was a man on the bus who was very friendly, and we chatted most of the way. He was a contractor and was going to be staying in Chico for several weeks on a job. As the bus drove further north, the emptier it became. I remember noticing that the bus driver was driving rather erratically for much of the trip. He was also taking a lot of back roads, which was weird, as he was driving inordinately fast. Passengers continued to trickle out of the bus with each stop until the only two people remaining were me and the contractor that I had been chatting with. I became very uncomfortable, as I knew that once we got past the Chico stop, there weren't going to be many more stops before we would be in the Redwoods. I knew that I was going to be the only person that was going to be on the bus since the contractor was deboarding in Chico. Since we were traveling at night, I knew that the chances of anybody else boarding at this time to go to Humboldt County were tremendously slim. I felt very uneasy about this bus driver, and I remember putting my head down in my hands and praying, asking for God to protect me and give me a sign whether I should get off the bus in Chico, where the contractor was going, or continue to Humboldt County. I figured I could get a hotel room there for the night and hop on another bus first thing in the morning. I was very nervous about telling the man that I had been chatting with that I felt uncomfortable, because I didn't know him too well, and I didn't want to be a burden to him. But then, after a little while, the man turned to me and asked if I felt uncomfortable. He told me that he felt weird about me being on the bus by myself. I knew at that moment that this was the Lord's way of keeping me safe. The man even offered to pay for my hotel room. I accepted his offer, and he did just that, like he promised, which was incredibly generous, as it was a very nice hotel. He was the nicest man ever. He even paid for brunch for us at the hotel the next morning. I'm so thankful that I didn't stay on that bus, and I'm grateful that my feelings were validated by another passenger, since it did confirm that something was off. Honestly, I don't know what would have happened to me if I stayed, but I'm pretty sure I wouldn't have made it to Humboldt County that night.
Cars today are built to last, but how they look is up to you, and that's where Maaco comes in. They specialize in cosmetic repairs. Let's say it's affordable paint jobs to fixing those annoying dents and dings. Maybe your car's paint is faded, or you've been meaning to fix that scrape from the grocery store parking lot. Whatever it is, Maaco has you covered. Now, here's the best part. Stop by your local Maaco, free estimate, and you're going to find out how easy it is to refresh your ride. With more Americans keeping their cars longer, now's the time to protect your investment and keep it looking sharp for years. And you can do so with the great folks at Maaco. At Maaco, they are proud to be a trusted partner for drivers across the country. Whether it's a fresh coat of paint for your car or fixing up everyday dents and dings, Maaco is here to keep your car looking its best. Get started. Visit your local Maaco today. Get the free estimate and see how easy it is to bring new life to your ride. Uh-oh, better get Mako.
Hey guys, it's Erin Andrews from Calm Down with Erin and Carissa. They say you can't plan for the unexpected, but they probably haven't heard of Aflac. You know them as the famous duck, but Aflac is a leader in supplemental insurance. They can better prepare you for life's surprises by helping cover expenses your health insurance doesn't. Even with good health insurance, medical bills are no joke. Many people don't realize health insurance wasn't designed to cover everything, which means money set aside for essentials like rent goes towards unexpected medical bills instead. That's where Aflac comes in. They pay cash that can be used for anything you choose. Think copays, deductibles, and even non-medical expenses like gas or groceries. Without Aflac, if you're sick or injured, gaps in your coverage can come back to haunt you. With Aflac, you can better protect yourself against the unexpected and help provide you and your family with financial security and added peace of mind. You can't predict the future, but you can better prepare for it with Aflac. Get help with expenses health insurance doesn't cover. Visit aflac.com to learn more.
Let's Not Meet is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
You know, if you can find the joy in the small moment, life will always be that much more fun. That's what Hello's oral and personal care products are all about. They take the mundane of every day and inject it with some everyday yay. Take Hello's anti-plaque and whitening fluoride-free toothpaste, for instance. It will brighten your routine and delight your senses with a formula that's equal parts fresh, friendly, and has plaque-fighting power. Or see the difference that a whitening toothpaste powered by vitamin C can do for your smile with Hello's Vitamin C Whitening Fluoride Toothpaste. With thoughtful and fun products that can make brushing your teeth feel like a confetti-filled bathroom dance party. So say hello to happy, to making the most of every moment. Say hello to a vegan, cruelty-free, and never tested on animals toothpaste. And say so long to dyes, parabens, artificial sweeteners and flavors, and other things you can do without. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.
This happened roughly 5 years ago. I worked at a hotel which had 50 rooms between three floors. I'm a female, and it was typical for me to be the only employee in the building after about 5 p.m. The hotel is on the farthest side of the city, which is considered to be the nicer side. So, a lot of companies will send their workers to us for room and board instead of sending them to the shadier motels on the opposite side of the city. Some of them were great guests, and others completely trashed everything, but that happens everywhere, I suppose. The layout of the building was simple. You pull up to the front entrance, enter the foyer, and the front desk and lobby are right through a set of automatic doors. Right across the hall from the lobby was the staircase leading up to the second floor, and to the left were our elevators to the second and third floors. The first floor only has hotel rooms on one side due to our pool occupying the other half of the flooring, along with our workout room, dining area, lobby, and office spaces. The upper floors have rooms on each side of the building, with the third floor having the most rooms. Typically the third floor, which was our highest, we kept reserved for business travelers and long stays. The second floor was reserved for short stays and bigger parties, and the first floor we kept open for elders or those that needed wheelchair access. Sometimes we would check out the first floor rooms to people who arrived late at night or for a one-night stay. I promise this is all relevant to the story. Anyway, on this particular night, it was getting to be the last few hours of my shift. It was slow that night, aside from a few work groups that I had checked in a few hours earlier. I noticed a raggedy, rusted, and beat-up black pickup truck pulling into the brightly lit entryway. So I pulled some paperwork to get ready for a check-in. A guy got out, and he was completely covered in dirt. I figured he just got off of work as I have seen several men come in covered in dirt and oil. I entirely chalked it up to him working in an oil field or being a construction worker, so nothing seemed out of the norm. I got his credentials, his name was Michael, and then scanned it into the computer. He was reluctant to leave his vehicle information with me, but I explained that if he didn't, his vehicle was going to be at the risk of being towed by morning. He caved, since he was only going to be there for the night, and requested a second floor room close to the lobby staircase so he could have easy access to the front doors for smoking. After taking his payment, I set up his room keys and then explained parking, hotel policies, and how he could get to his room, which was right up the staircase. He had a few bags with him, so he picked them up and went upstairs. Almost immediately, he came back down and accused me of giving him broken room keys. I explained that if he put them next to his phone or anywhere near a magnet, the keys would deactivate. So I made him a new set of keys and offered to take him upstairs to open the room for him, to make sure that his new keys work. And they did. Then he walked into his room and shut the door, so with that, I was on my way back down to the lobby. When I got back in my office, something odd caught my eye on the cameras. He hadn't left the building, but his car wasn't in front anymore. He hadn't mentioned anything about having another person with him. If there was, we're supposed to charge a $10 fee per extra person. The side doors don't open unless you have a room key or you are inside of the hotel. So I started to watch the cameras to make sure that he wasn't trying to sneak other people in. About 20 minutes later, I noticed nothing happening except him coming down the stairs again. I smiled politely when I saw him and went outside. He stayed outside for about 10 minutes, just standing in the carport. I was watching him on camera. Now, while I thought that that was a little weird, I chalked it up to him taking a smoke. So I stopped paying attention after a while and started to file my paperwork that was due before my shift ended. Then suddenly, Michael ran back into the hotel, cigarette still lit in his mouth. I instructed him to take his cigarette back outside or put it out. He just threw it on the ground and put it out with his shoe. He turned his attention towards the TV and ended up sitting in the lobby for an ungodly amount of time. He kept glancing towards the door. This made me uncomfortable. During this time, the friendly demeanor that he had at check-in completely disappeared. He seemed paranoid and agitated now, and he started to whisper to himself, but I couldn't hear what he was saying. After about 30 minutes of him doing this, I instructed him to go back up to his hotel room and said it was because I couldn't have people in the lobby when I was working on closing procedures. This was a lie, but the owners and management allow hotel staff to make up reasons to end interactions if we feel uncomfortable with a guest. Michael then asked me to escort him up to his room because he was uncomfortable and scared. I explained that I was unable to do that for safety reasons, but I said that I could watch him go upstairs on the camera and that he could call me from his room when he arrived. So he went upstairs, but immediately came back down and informed me that he forgot where his room was. He said that I needed to show him. I told him I couldn't leave the office or lobby, but offered to explain where the room was since it was very simple to get there. He was continuing his whispers, but this time I caught what he was saying. It was about him losing his phone. Now, I didn't pay any mind to this. After I explained to Michael where his room was, he went back upstairs, and I heard the door to his room as it slammed shut. It echoed throughout the second and first floors, which gave me chills. He came back down shortly after and started yelling at me. He told me that I had stolen his cell phone and that I was planning his demise. He told me that I needed to find his phone. This was completely bogus as I hadn't even left the office area since making sure his room key worked. He asked me for help. I just warned him to go away. So I slipped a screwdriver into my pocket just in case he tried to attack me. Then I began rummaging through the cushions on the couches in the lobby, looking for his phone. I didn't find it, but I found his credit card, which he accused me of stealing as well. I stood my ground and said that if he couldn't respect me in my place of work, I could call the police, and I could have them escort him to his room, or off the facility. He got angrier and snatched his card from my hands, then went back outside. After about 20 minutes, he came back. He was calmer, but he asked if I would please go outside with him, since there was something wrong with his car. After I absolutely refused, he grew stern and told me that I needed to go outside. He said that it wasn't fair that he was the only person working on his car. He said he just needed some fucking help, to quote him. I had to explain that I wasn't allowed to accompany guests outside of the building, but he just kept repeating that I had to go outside with him. Now, I have anxiety, so I was about to have a panic attack. I decided to call the owners and ask them what I should do. This was my first job working at a hotel, and while I have tons of freedom doing my job, I still need guidance on how to properly handle these situations. The owner told me, if I was uncomfortable or suspected that he was under the influence, or if I thought he was in any danger of sort, I had full rein to call the police to have them ban him from the property. I asked if they could keep an eye on the cameras, since they have access to them at home, since he was acting weird. I then locked all the lobby doors and made sure that the side and fire exits were all properly secured and closed, so that nobody could sneak in. I did this while staying on my phone with my boss, since I was too scared to leave the office by myself. After getting back into the office, I locked the door and I braced myself for when Michael would come back inside. My boss told me to just watch the cameras and keep my cell phone nearby just in case I needed to call for help. Meanwhile, I noticed that I couldn't see Michael on the cameras anymore. I didn't know where he was parked, but I sure wasn't going to go out and look. That's when I noticed that there was another vehicle driving through our parking lot. I called the hotel next door to ask if the car was on their cameras too, and I was informed that it was an unknown vehicle to their records. It was unknown to me as well, and this made my anxiety even higher. The car drove around the back of the building, then back around to the front. Then they turned and did the same to the building next door. The parking lot was almost empty, so I know that they weren't looking for a parking spot. The car kept looping around, and I was so focused on watching it on camera that I didn't even notice Michael came back inside. When I saw Michael, I told him he either needed to go up to his room or vacate the premises. He just continued to yell at me, saying I needed to go outside with him. He wouldn't move away from the entrance, but I imagine that's because he was staying in view with whoever else he kept looking back at. Then randomly, he sprinted across the parking lot and out of the camera's view. I also didn't see that car that had been looping around anymore after that. Since it was practically the end of my shift, I somehow managed to get everything done just in time for the next shift to arrive. I was so glad to see her, I almost cried. I explained what was going on, and that the owners wanted her to keep the lobby doors locked. We put up signs explaining that our doors were out of order, and guests would have to call for entry or use the side entrance. I also deactivated Michael's room keys and told the girl working next shift not to let him back in. I told her that if he showed up, she needed to call the police. I made sure she watched me get into my Uber ride after triple checking the vehicle and the driver matched what my phone said. Since I was a regular customer of the driver, he asked why I was so riled up. I asked him to drive through the parking lot with the doors locked so that I could see if Michael's truck or the other vehicle that I saw driving around the parking lot were anywhere near either building. They weren't. I didn't spot either one. I have no idea what happened to them. The next day, I had my boyfriend come and stay with me for the entire evening during my shift, just in case Michael came back, since, according to my bosses, he never came to get his stuff. He wouldn't pick up the phone when we called to tell him that he needed to gather what he had left behind. Nothing happened for a while, But then a month later, Michael came in asking about his stuff and if he could get a room. I refused to check him into a room, and luckily there were other people there with me in the lobby and the office. I had our maintenance man retrieve his items as I explained that he was no longer permitted to be on the property. I let him know that if we saw him again, the police would be called and he would be arrested for trespassing. This wasn't true, but we did not want him to come back. I noticed Michael had a different vehicle when he finally came back to get his stuff. It was a newer model SUV, and it was maroon. It didn't match either his beat-up black pickup truck or the dark-colored sedan that I saw suspiciously driving in circles. If there was anything that sat with me after all this time, it was that he remembered my name. He addressed me by my name when he walked up to the counter. At first I thought, oh, yeah, my name is part of my uniform, but then I realized I forgot to put my name tag on that day. And after that, I refused to wear one in the hotel. Management let me create a fake name and wear that from that point on. It took me a while to feel safe in the building again while I was alone. I constantly had my boyfriend with me while I worked the evening shift. So, Michael, let's not meet ever again. We have an epic 45-minute saga after the music. If you're a patron, it's one of my favorite stories that we've had in a long time. So make sure you stick around after the music. If you're a patron, if you want to get access, head over to patreon.com/letsnotmeetpodcast to sign up and support the show today. You'll get access to ad-free versions of our episodes, along with hours and hours of bonus content with stories you won't hear anywhere else. This week you have heard Be Careful Looking for Pen Pals by CGNTTW, Altoona, Pennsylvania by Dylan with Fear, When a Man Follows You Home by Puzzle-Headed Use566, I Found a Hidden Camera in My Friend's Bathroom by Mutual Butterfly, He Told Me I Will Always Remember Where You Live by Glittering Return 316 of the 3AM Nightmares YouTube channel, Don't Take the Garbage Out at Night by Afafi, Sketchy NorCal Bus Driver by Honeybee 1971, and finally, No, You Don't Have to Come Outside with Me by Small Waifu. All of the stories you've heard this week were narrated and produced with the permission of their respective authors. Let's Not Meet, a true horror podcast, is not associated with Reddit or any other message boards online. If you have a story to share, make sure you send it to letsnotmeetstories@gmail.com to hear it on the show. Finally, make sure you check out the new episodes of my other podcasts, like Odd Trails, my true paranormal podcast, and the Old Time Radio Cast at crypticcountypodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Next week, we will be announcing some live dates for this year's Let's Not Meet tour, so keep your ears open and follow me on social media if you want to get the updates before then. You can follow me on Instagram at Let's Not Meet Cast. I'll see you all next week for a brand new episode of Let's Not Meet. Everyone, stay safe. Patreon story contains some references to self-harm, so listener discretion is advised.
Hey everyone, this is Carrie Champion, the host of Naked Sports.
The all-new 2025 Nissan Armada Pro 4X provides freedom. Freedom to explore, to go wherever you want, with your whole crew and all your toys. With a twin-turbo V6 engine, 8,500 pounds of towing capacity, and seating for eight, this unshakable fortress of a vehicle is built to take you on your next adventure. Drive the all-new 2025 Nissan Armada today. Learn more at NissanUSA.com. Intelligent four-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
This message comes from Greenlight. Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on what your kids are spending with real-time notifications. Join millions of parents and kids building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get started risk-free at greenlight.com/iHeart.
Does Friendly have a taste? If it does, it's probably like Hello's peppermint-flavored anti-plaque and whitening toothpaste. Brush away plaque, show tartar who's boss, and remove surface stains to naturally whiten. Hello's thoughtful and flavor-forward products make brushing your teeth feel like a confetti-filled bathroom dance party. So say hello to Hello with the always cruelty-free, never tested on animals toothpaste that's made to spread smiles. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.